Hello. Friendship in church. So when I was first asked to speak on friendship, I felt challenged and wondered if I was really the best person for this. But then I began to reflect on some life-changing and life-impacting relationships and the adventure and the excitement that it's all been. So I just would like to read a few scriptures, just brief ones that will kind of entwine themselves in this talk, I hope. So from John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Luke 6, verse 31, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Mark 12, verse 31, love your neighbor as yourself. And we'll come back to at least one of those scriptures and expound on it. So I'm not going to speak about present friendships too much. There may be some alluding to present friendships, but mostly past friendships, some of whom are in heaven with Jesus, not because of their age, but just by life circumstances. But there have been some beauties, so I would like to share some of those. The first friendship I wanted to share was between Christine and myself. She was a sporty, fun-loving, beautiful Christian and a jewel of a friend. She was so grateful for all the Lord had done for her. She never got over his loving kindness. She had left Zimbabwe with absolutely nothing, no home, no money, nothing, to come here. And she had known not only that kind of suffering, but deep suffering in family issues, deep, deep suffering. Perhaps these are some of the reasons that she was so sparkling and so thankful. Christine was 86 when I first met her, and I was in my early 60s, which is 15 years ago, or very, very soon to be 15 years ago. My first memory of her, I think she'd gone to the Living Word and spoken to Don, so she'd heard about us, and she came to one of our meetings. And my first memory of her was her lying on the floor, resting in the Holy Spirit, laughing uproariously. And I'd probably gone over to her and just, because she was a fairly elderly looking lady, I sometimes put a pillow under somebody's head. So I may have done that. And we spent a lot of time after that finding out about each other, listening to each other's story. And we developed trust and a mutual respect and joy. What was particularly precious was that she was the same age as my mother, but my mum had suffered from rejection, which made it difficult for her to receive love and help. Christine felt I was the daughter she never had. In the last year of her life, she became ill and her needs increased, and she became increasingly frail and vulnerable. The beauty was she was so open and willing to receive love and help through her illness until her death. For me, it was like a gift of caring for my own mother, as well as caring for this beloved friend. I could say so much about this friendship, the tears, the joy, the rippling laughter. So beautiful. And even though she became utterly physically dependent, and I would stay over at hers with my dog so that she could stay at home as long as possible, in all of this, despite her total dependence, she was never emotionally draining or manipulative. She remained free and beautiful. There are some amazing keys in that little story and that little cameo about friendship, which I hope you'll be able to pick out. Not all friendships in the body of Christ are this full of grace and so beautiful. However, all friendships are important, even if they're not easy. I presently have one friendship in which for several years, a long time ago, we were mutually antipathetic. And I think mostly due to their perseverance, we pushed through until a point when God poured out his unconditional love in an amazing way that we could both experience that, and that changed everything. Now that relationship, and for many years, is based in mutual respect, the love of God, loyalty, and faithfulness. It was forged out of pain and difficulty, but God made it something strong and beautiful. I'd like to say that friendships are not optional. There might be a tendency to think, I don't need friends. I have my family. I have all I want. I have all I can handle. But Jesus said, love one another. And I don't think that this was exclusive to our immediate family. And again, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That has to be outside of the home. In Luke 6, verse 31, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Love your neighbor as yourself. I want to expound a little on loving your neighbor as yourself, because it is the gold standard upon which good friendships are formed and sustained. I think it would be impossible to love others if I have a negative or mean view of myself. I'm not talking about self-centeredness. It's all about me, 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 me. No, it's about being kind to myself, being a good steward of my mind, of my body, eating well, caring a bit about how I look, getting the right kind of exercise, giving myself time, giving myself kindness and grace, literally being generous to myself. For me, it's important to realize and live in the revelation that I'm made in the image of God and that he loves me in the same way that he loves Jesus. He loves you the same way that he loves Jesus. There used to be a phrase going about years ago said, you would say to yourself, I'm a blessing wherever I go. Well, actually, it's not a bad thing to think, because in fact, you are a blessing wherever you go. And if you feel a bit nervous about entering a room or anything, just say, do you know what? I'm a blessing here. I've got something worthwhile to give here, and do some good positive self-talk based on Bible. It's so important to deal with rejection. We have all suffered rejection, and we need to invite the Lord in to heal our wounds. If we continue in the woundedness of rejection, we will carry rejection, and our soul and body will speak out rejection, and we will remain alone and rejected and rejecting others. If we carry rejection, we don't actually need to say, don't touch me. Everything about me will let everyone else know, don't touch me. If we remain afraid to be rejected and angry about past rejections, it stops others asking you to be in friendship, because those things are like porcupine spikes that keep everyone away. We each have a responsibility to cooperate with God in his healing and the restoring of our wounds. If wounds aren't tended, they get infected and they smell. And so, you know, I don't want to be carrying smelly wounds around to offend anyone in the spirit realm in the body of Christ. I remember a very good friend saying to me when I was early in the church, soon born again. He said to me, this behavior of rejection has got to stop. Rejection had given me a way of being that said no to most things, a lift, help, an invitation to lunch, generally being surly. When he said this to me, at first I thought, hey, look here, I'm the victim in all of this. It's me that's been hurt by all this rejection. But somehow the Holy Spirit was on those words, and I realized my behavior was sinful. Once one is convicted of sin, that's such a mercy. It's simple to confess it and to be set free, to be forgiven for sin and cleansed of all unrighteousness. I began to change from that point. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for friends who will speak directly in with truth, but also grace. If you do make friends whilst carrying old rejections, it will soon surface and have the potential to shipwreck the relationship further down the line. So dealing with our wounds of rejection is the starting point of good friendships. Friendships have the potential for being a safe place of sharing and mutual joy. Alongside of this, God has a tendency to show me my heart in friendships, and yours too. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. I have experience of this in at least two present-day long-term friendships. Friendships that have resolved difficulties and conflicts that have needed to draw on the unconditional love of God to sustain them. In any friendship, you will probably, any relationship basically, marriage, friendship, You will probably run out of grace and your own affection at some point and be crying out for his unconditional love for the other person. I have nearly always persevered through difficulties in friendship to find that place of reconciliation in order to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. Jesus died that we should be one. The friendships that have weathered suffering and pain and conflict that's been resolved seem to be richer than some others in many ways. So again, friendships are not optional. They are part of the enrichment of life, but also our sanctification and being transformed into the image of Christ. By the way, transformation is quicker when you're in relationships and friendships. And knowing how to navigate friendships will develop my character, reveal integrity or weakness or a negative trait, which I can take to God and get him to change. I have been honed and sharpened by at least 10 lodgers over the years, and four at least of my lodgers have left my home in bridal gowns and glory to be wed. What a reward for friendship. Living with people you do not know when they first come is a sure way to find out how Christ-like you are or not. It is not always an easy option. But this morning, God reminded me of an amazing time when I'd seen this notice in several notices going by week after week. It was from another church. Could somebody please offer a home to this couple who were going to come over here for a secondment to a ministry in Bognor? And I just let it pass by because, like, who wants to suddenly have strangers in the home from abroad and whatever? But anyway, in the end, I did say I would do it. And then the person who was organising it said they'd like to pay £150 in rent for rent and board and lodging. I said, well, they'll be lucky. But anyway, it was all such a joy. It was Jonah and Onalie, if any of you remember them. You know, I'd come home from work and Onalie would be playing the violin. They were so creative and such fun. We used to cook our suppers outside on the chimney, our sausages and especially our fish, because I could never stand fish being cooked inside. But it was all such a joy. And he was so funny. And he was like a son to me. He'd come out to the car to take my shopping in. He'd bring the logs in for the wood burner. It was something so beautiful. If I hadn't have opened that door at that moment, I'd never have experienced that enormous amount of colour and creativity in my life. And I used to occasionally do these art exhibitions. And one of them occurred when Jonah and Onalie were here. They helped me set the whole thing up and did an enormous amount of exhibits for it. So, you know, sometimes just opening a door is what brings forth such glory. But it takes courage, but it's worth it. Yeah. So back to my notes, because that was remembering this morning. Oh, yeah. I think I can give one example when I have needed. I love these words that Ben used in his first talk: candor, tact and counsel. I had an absolutely amazing friend. She is in heaven now. We had a huge amount of fun. We prayed daily together for a long season of our relationship. She was a single mum with two lovely children, and she had shared the joys and sorrows of being a single mum with me and the children. It was a deep and full friendship. Then she fell in love, but it soon became apparent to me that he was not a man of integrity. My friend had worked hard, setting up her own business, which was flourishing. She had her own home. She was beautiful. She had everything except someone to love her. And I wished with all my heart I could be happy for her. I prayed and talked a lot to God about it. If I said something, I might shipwreck the whole relationship. But if I didn't counsel her, I would be a hypocrite to myself and to our friendship. So eventually, these are not their names. So eventually I said, Rose, I would love to be as thrilled as you are that you're engaged to Jack, but I'm so unsure that he is the right guy for you. I want you to know, though, that whatever you decide, I will stand with you and support you, continuing as your dear friend. She was so confident and happy, and she rushed into a hug and said, oh, Lizzie, I know you don't think Jack is right for me, but I know that he is. And she laughed joyously and hugged me. I stood by her in the considerable difficulties and enormous sufferings that ensued in just a short time after her marriage. I remained the friend she really needed, without judgment, just compassion mixed with sadness. It remains important to me that I shared my discernment. Sometimes a friendship is on the line due to conflict. Even the best of friends will have misunderstandings and even disagreements. If there's an issue that you perceive in a relationship, something wrong, don't rush out and challenge your friend straight away. It's important to look in the mirror first. Have I said something that's inappropriate? Have I offended some way? Just reflect on the last time things were good and when they suddenly weren't so good. Ask yourself these things. If you find there is something, ask God to forgive you and apologize to your friend and ask them to forgive you. There's nothing like an apology to diffuse negative emotions, especially anger. So if you find yourself in those situations, you know, just apologize. You know, that's the thing that will actually diffuse the anger and change the atmosphere in that relationship. And the other thing to ask is, does this person trigger some unresolved conflict within you? And that's happened to me many times. God uses other people to sanctify us, but you need to stand steady and ask questions of yourself. Is this person somehow triggering you from your difficult relationship with your father? Or does this person behave in the same way as the sister who was always rejecting you? If this is the case, the difficulties are mine or yours rather than the friend's. God is using that other person to bring healing. It's just the kindness of God bring healing to you, to me. I have had both those things, the father and the sister relationship, highlighted to me through relationships, and it can be very painful and quite difficult, but the responsibility is mine with God, and I need to get that. And sometimes even that's quite a journey. And when I've done all that, I can, and when I've looked at the plank in my own eye, I may be able to see the piece of sawdust in my friend's eye, and maybe I can bring a gentle challenge with grace and truth. Be upfront about the issue. Explain why you feel, how you feel. So, for instance, when you seem angry, don't be too confrontational. When you seem angry, it makes me feel afraid. So I'm pointing the finger at me. It's called I messaging. I as in I myself. Let them know why you believe there is a conflict and how much you want to see it resolved. Always move in humility. Never make assumptions. Listen carefully to their side of the story. Try to avoid advice. Use counsel instead. When there are difficulties that need a solution, you know, most of us have the answer inside of us. I would be quite likely to say to my friend, if there was an issue, once it's been isolated what the issue is, can you see any way in which this can be improved? So you're asking them the question so that it gets them reflecting for themselves. It brings them alongside for the solution. It values them and gives them some control at a point that they might feel vulnerable. Moving on, it's never too late to have new friends. About 18 months ago, I decided it would be a good thing to have a small group of friends to look at the Bible together and debate or chat, not just about spiritual issues, but maybe world affairs, birds, and exploring the world, the word. I shared this ambitious wish with Ben, and I shared it with Gilbert Boys. The three of us met in a cafe, and that was how I envisioned it would be, that we'd be in public and we would actually change the atmosphere by breaking bread and sharing the word. But obviously that's not happening, that part of it's not happening at the moment. I suggested an enlargement to this little group because I knew that Ben wouldn't be able to come long term. And probably it would be a bit random if he did come. He was always welcome, but that was the case. So Ben asked Malcolm McKee and Gilbert asked Julia. So now the four of us, Gilbert, Julia, Malcolm and myself, meet every Thursday for an hour and share the word. We are seeing stuff in the word we have never seen before. We probably take about three verses sometimes for the whole hour. Sometimes we might move on a bit faster, but we often get stuck and say, we wish that John France was here, he'd be able to help us. But we always break through and find out what God is saying to us. And what happens is we share our weaknesses with each other because the word is convicting. We share where we still need a dealing with God, or something makes us roar with laughter and we're all roaring with laughter on the Zoom. You know, I mean, it is just so precious, and none of us would miss that meeting except for something very, very important. We're always there at 9 o'clock on Thursday morning. It's an absolutely marvelous, marvelous thing. So it's never too late. I never expected to be friends with those guys, but I share when I'm hurting with them now as well. We don't spend the whole time on it, you know, on our hurts, but we're free to do that if we want. And I trust them, and I've trusted them with stuff that lots of people don't know about. And it's such a safe place. It's good not to be afraid or to say it's too late. And the other thing to remember is sometimes you think, I've had such an amazing friend, but now they live 500 miles away or they've died. And you don't have that friendship and you don't think that you'll ever be able to match it. Well, probably you won't. I like pieces of music. They've been created. They make a sound. And it can't be recomposed or whatever the word might be. But, you know, there'll be some more music for you in friendship out there. Don't close the door just because you've had some amazing friends and they're not present around you anymore. You know, look and seek and you will find. You know, some of my compositions are exciting and they've got cymbals and bass drums rumbling in them, but others and most of them are mellow cello, you know, and that's how I perceive it. And you know, there's always a new musical composition to be created. So yeah, so that was such fun about making those new friends. So in summary, every potential friendship is an opportunity. For life enriching possibilities. It is a risk. It is the unknown. It is uncertain. But if you move in grace and truth, and you are a trustworthy person, and you make an investment in that friendship, it will be great. So take the risk. That's my word for today.